Yeah. Awesome. Bring it on.
So how does it make you
feel?
Yeah.
Who can believe it? It is the final three men and a feeling for 2017. I can't believe there are that many feelings in the world, and yet somehow we've managed to cover them. With me are the two compadres that have been with us the whole series, Andrew Fuller, clinical psychologist, and longtime pen searcher and educator, John Hendry. Today, I think it's apt that we talk about the range of feelings, the tsunami of feelings sometimes that can accompany Christmas, not all of them positive. It's a time of year many people listening find very difficult indeed.
Joy to the world.
John, I knew you would say that.
Joy to the world.
Because you're eternally positive, and that's one of the reasons we love you.
We've got to start there, don't we? Joy to the world, I think, you know, bring people together, families come together. And I know at times when families are together, they don't perhaps respond the way that we'd like them to, but mostly they do, and I think...
Do they really?
I think they do.
Sometimes people don't come together for the remainder of the year for a reason.
I think that's good for families, though. I think it's good to bring things and put them on the table.
Oh, really? So you should put them on the table along with the turkey and the ham and the vegetarian dishes?
I think you need to. And I think, and of course, it's much of the conversation is well lubricated, so we need to be a little bit careful.
Oh, brilliant.
At times.
So alcohol is a formula with the honesty and the food. I can't see anything going wrong there at all.
Not at all.
No.
It's very true.
Andrew?
Peak referral time for me, this is. So for psychologists around Australia, this becomes just a peak season. Unfortunately, of course, as people contest and combat with families.
Yeah.
I mean, families we know are sort of like, I suppose, biscuit cutters. You know, they sort of cut people into the same shapes every time. So,
and then you tend to, when you walk in the door, assume that shape. Because that's your expectation
true,
as well
yes.
as theirs.
Mm. And so you can go through a year of phenomenal change and development and growth in yourself and walk into that room and have somebody say, oh, you're just the same as you were last year. Nothing's changed. And it all evaporates in front of your very eyes. And so you can be simmering and seething with anger. So there is a very mixed time for people. I know there's an intensity. And, of course, we all have histories in terms of our Christmases past, the ghosts of Christmas past, as Dickens would have said, that basically haunt us. And so there are the times that the gifts weren't quite what we hoped they would be, or the greeting wasn't quite as warm or as exuberant. So we need to be very, very careful and mindful of one another at this time.
Right.
We really are. This is a time when we really are in the care of each other.
So how do we ensure that people come away, John, feeling, if not warm towards each other, at least unscathed?
I think really, Michael, we need to listen, and I mean listen in a holistic way to the stories that are told, or listen just to the physical appearance of people. And I think that's really important. We should not presume that, in fact, we know all that we think we know about our family.
Let's just drill down on that, because you say listen. And people think, well, I think I've heard what they have to say, and now here's my response. But the way you're talking about it, it sounds to me like you're saying maybe hold back on trying to form a response.
Be really generous. And I think be non-judgmental prior to the arrival. They're coming again, are they? This is going to be tough, and so on. I think what we need to do is be generous and say it's going to be wonderful to see them. And attitude is really important.
But what if you don't feel that? What if because you don't want to be inauthentic either. You don't want to pretend. Or are you saying fake it till you make it?
No. And this goes back to relationships and the second amigo in the relationship. You know, the first one is trust. So do you trust your family? And but the second one is forgiveness. Give these people a break and hope that they'll give you a break. And I think that's really important. And, you know, this is the compassionate stuff.
Right.
Think about, you know how they might feel, and there are, in families gathered, there will be people who are lonely because people have not connected with them. And I think it's people that they value and really want to be connected with, don't, for all sorts of silly reasons. And I think they are silly reasons, and we sit and hold our position on things when I think it's unhelpful to us personally, let alone to the entire family. I think it's a tragedy that, in fact, there are in families lonely people, and they are with them.
Mm.
And I think that's where we have to be more mindful, more aware, and I think, and more generous. And I think, we just have to work hard at it. Sometimes it's really hard work. But in the end, I think it's critically important. It's the glue that holds us together as families.
Andrew, John's kind of espoused some of the main tenets of our conversations over the last year, really, and that is, don't think about what you can take, but what you can give to a situation to enhance it, to make it a better situation for all concerned. And this is no better time, a more intense time, potentially, than Christmas.
I think in my work, really, there are two times particularly that stand out in family lives where we measure how loved we are. One is around the issue of inheritances, and the second one is around Christmas. And so it's a measure of how we love and how much we feel loved by the people around us, whether we're included or not. So that initial greeting is incredibly important. I think it's a time for us all to practice exuberant greeting, of really to be welcoming in of people and to be curious, and to be curious about what sort of year have you had and what has it been like for you out there in the world. But I think that tone of that greeting saves a lot of angst later on. It's not a time to be lukewarm about, oh, well, good to see you. It's a time to be going, great to see you. It's
just the way you said that just evokes so many memories for me then. Yeah, good to see you.
Yeah, whatever. Hey, Ben. And so it's not a time to be understated. It's a time to be exuberant and to be greeting and welcome people in. It's a good time to practice those skills because they're useful in terms of, you may not feel them. That's okay. Just do it. I think it's a time of basically, that could be your gift, the gift of exuberance.
What are our obligations within relationships? And we would like people to perhaps do to us what we would, the old golden rule. However, often people are preoccupied or they've got things that they want to tell you, but they're not that interested in what you're doing because their main interest at the moment is themselves. I just think we live with those things over
time.
Let
it slide.
I think we have to let it slide or it cooks us. And then we're unhappy about that. It affects us. And the mind then drills down on things that are really unnecessary and unhelpful. I just think you have to embrace it, as Andrew says, be very generous. Touch is really important. And a good family can tolerate all sorts of disturbances. We'll have great arguments about politics and those sorts of things, and that's great to be able to get up from the table and walk away and what are you talking about and so forth. But in the end, we are family, and I think it's important to hang on to that and to cherish that opportunity, because there are many who don't have families.
I think there's a special opportunity for contribution by men at Christmas. I think that women in the families that I know and see and my own, women make a larger contribution. They're often the people who are preparing the food and taking care of people and wrapping the gifts largely. So the men can certainly contribute to that, but there's an even larger contribution that men can make, which is to embrace true masculinity, which is compassion. To basically be that compassionate man that greets people, greets them into the world, checks how they are, looks out for the outliers in terms of the family, includes them, finds a way to embrace the entire family. Because I think when a man does that, it enriches the entire experience for everyone.
It's interesting you particularly take focus on men. Is that because you think, Andrew, in many of these situations, men tend to withdraw?
Yes, I think there's a sort of a laconic Australian tendency to sort of lean back and go, that's not bad. How are you? All right. And that reserve is lovely. I like that about Australian men. But I think there's a time when Australian men can be much more full-hearted and much more warm and much more openly embracing. And this is a time of year to do that.
There's also people listening, gentlemen, who have, for whatever reason, a family that's been split. And I'm talking here about separation and divorce. That is a time, speaking from personal experience, where being with your children is often both the most desirable thing you have at Christmas and yet the most painful thing to try and achieve. Any thoughts on how people who co-parent should try and find a way through this?
Well, it means you're having half a Christmas, really. So often you're, if you like, you're having a portion of time, usually, with some family members, and then a portion of time without them. And that time without them is incredibly important to think about what you might do. And so...
So plan ahead?
Well, I think it's important to do something with that time rather than just be, feel more than and that you're missing out. I mean, it's easy to become sort of self-pitying and feel like we're sort of morose about things, but it's important to enjoy the time that you have and then do something else, schedule something like going for a walk or whatever it might be, even watching a good movie. But in a way, taking that time to do something else that's fulfilling for yourself.
There's often orphans' Christmases too. I've been to a couple of orphans' yes. Christmases in my time and turned out to be really pleasurable because yes. there's no agenda apart from the fact that it's a shared gathering.
But I think there is a chance, and the orphan one is a really good one. There's a chance that you can be involved where people don't have families. And
you making know, their Christmas a better one.
Making their Christmas a better place. And then it adds meaning to your existence. And I would think that in families that are shared families and so forth, it's really important that adults be adult.
Even in your own family, you can be a volunteer to making sure that people have a good time.
Yes.
Well, gentlemen, on behalf of Life Matters, thank you very much for making our time together over the last, 6 months or more now, so pleasurable every week. And we've really enjoyed conversations with our audience too over some of the issues you two have raised in response to my dumbass questions. So thank you very much for that. And we should explain to people that Three Men and a Feeling will be taking a hiatus in 2018, but we hope to return in a different form of some kind. So watch this space. And on behalf of everyone at Life Matters and listening, John Hendry, Andrew Fuller, it's been rich and it's been real. So thank you both very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. It's been wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hope you've enjoyed Three Men and a Feeling. And if you'd like to revisit any or all of the feelings that Andrew Fuller, John Hendry and Michael McKenzie have had over the course of the series, you'll find an online archive of the lot of it on the right-hand side of the Life Matters homepage.